welcome to another episode of Nerd Tween and Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Nerd Tween. Thank you so much for joining me. I have to admit, this is much later than I originally anticipated. I planned on doing this whole thing about CM Punk, and then I went down a rabbit hole of all of CM Punk's matches, or most of them, and his big feuds and everything that he's done over his career. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I may have to change my thought process on CM Punk. I have always said that I don't know how I felt. I didn't think he was as good as you know, the best in the world. After this episode, maybe that'll change. I will first want to say that this is going to be a full wrestling episode again. I apologize for anyone who comes for me multi-fandom content. I usually do that, but this is going to be an entire episode again of wrestling. I am going to be moving all this wrestling content to another channel, Nerdtween Wrestling. You can subscribe to that now. I can't post pretty much anything long-form content or go live for a few weeks, so if you go follow it now, a lot of this stuff will be over there moving forward. But until then, we're gonna have it on my current podcast, which is a multi-fandom podcast, so you know, it does kind of fall under multi-fandom. But today we are going to talk about Phil Brooks, aka Chick Magnum Punk, aka Chicago Made, aka the best in the world, aka the Second City Saint, aka the Straight Edge Savior, aka the voice of the voiceless, aka CM Punk. Now, a lot has been said about CM Punk over the years. You know, a lot of people have had some very harsh or positive, for that matter, feelings towards CM Punk. Love him or hate him, you can't deny that he is an absolute draw in the wrestling business. No matter where he goes, he creates buzz. That goes for when he showed up in AEW, that shows for his first run in WWE, and again so far and now in his surprise second run in the WWE. Now, let's go over some of his accolades before we get into anything else. We got a first state. This man has a very impressive career through all the indies, but he is a two-time WWE champion, a three-time WWE heavyweight champion, a two-time AEW world champion, an ECW champion, world tag team champion with Kofi Kingston in the WWE, WWE Intercontinental Champion, ROH world champion, two-time ROH tag team champion with Colt Cabana, and numerous other championships all on the indies. He is a very decorated, if nothing else, wrestler in the modern era. He's also won back-to-back Money in the Bank in 2008-2009, which is the only person to do so. He was inducted into the ROH Hall of Fame in 2022. He is a WWE Triple Crown champ, and he's also the fastest to do so at only 203 days. He has the sixth longest reign as WWE champion at 434 days, only behind the likes of Pedro Morales, Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Bob Backlund, and current run by Roman Reigns. And by the way, Bruno has two runs in the top five. So he is in the top 10, just outside the top five, for longest WWE title reigns in the history of the business. He made his in-ring debut on August 2006 on ECW, and then he also left the WWE, in 2014. He returned to wrestling in 2021 in All Elite Wrestling, and had multiple backstage issues, which caused his firing in late September, which led to his surprise return to the WWE at Survivor Series War Games in Chicago. He also did have a brief stint in MMA where he was 0-1-0 with one loss and one no contest. He has also written comic books, well, co-written. He wrote the introduction for the hardcover edition of Marvel Comics' 2012 crossover event, Avengers vs. X-Men, which he called Geek Dream Come True. He partly wrote Thor Annual No. 1 in 2015. He also co-wrote The Most Cursed, which appeared in Vertigo Comics, Strange Sports Stories No. 3, and then co-wrote in 2015 Marvel Comics ongoing Drax series, and also co-wrote a one-shot Marvel Masters of Kung Fu in 2017. This man has accomplished a lot both in and out of the ring. Now, my whole stance on CM Punk was he was great on the mic, but I just didn't get why everyone thought he was so good in-ring. Now, after doing research for this episode, I think I may have let my personal biases get in the way of an actual critique of this man's talent. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And I think now looking back, he was just ahead of his time, really, because if you look at what he was doing with Vince, it is very similar to what MJF was doing with Tony Khan when he was, you know, exploding on him and getting his mic shut off. I mean, it's very, you know, I'm going to say that without CM Punk, there is no MJF. Not saying that he's better than MJF or doing any type of tribalism BS. I like both products. I like AEW. I like WWE. I like ROH when I have been able to watch it. I like New Japan, GCW. I mean, there's a lot of great independents that are awesome. You know, I just like wrestling. I'm a very big fan of all content. Like when I read comic books, I don't read just Marvel or DC. I read Marvel, DC, and indies. It just makes no sense to be this tribalistic, lost in space kind of thing where you have to only like one or the other. You can like whatever you like, but don't just like it because it's one way or the other. It's just, it's stupid. It really is. It's WWE or nothing. It's AEW or nothing. Get over yourselves. Like really. Like, it's trying at this point. Okay, but I got off topic. You know, and we're going to talk about a few specific matches, but let's talk about Money in the Bank versus John Cena, July 17, 2011. This whole storyline was honestly long before its time. You really look like it. CM Punk, one thing I will say always about him is he is so good at, whether it's intentional or not, blurring the line between what is real and what is part of the story. Because when he got screwed over by Vince McMahon, like, you really thought it was going to be over. Like, you thought that he was going to come out, cough about it. You thought it was Screwjob Part 2. And then that's not what happened. You know, like, he even called, was like, hey, get Del Rio out here right now. You know, he's the world, he's got the championship. He's got the Money in the Bank. And he did come out, and then Punk kicked him in the head and slithered his way out of the arena, blowing kisses at Vince McMahon, you know, with the title, as he was saying, I'm winning this title and I'm leaving because his contract was up. You know, I got to say, it's very... You look at it back there, you look at it now, it's like, man, what was real and what wasn't? And, you know, I always say, time and time again, we talk about wrestling, that when wrestling is at its best is when you're forgetting that it's scripted. When you're watching it thinking that this is a real competition and not something that the outcome is already already decided. And CM Punk, throughout his entire career, has always been just maybe he's the physical embodiment of that saying. Because people outside of the wrestling business, even the ones that are in it, may not like him outside, but work with him because it's professional. You know, there's a lot of people that just don't like him as a person. Whether that's valid or justified, that's up to each individual person. That's not something for me to discuss. But he's, for his entire career, basically been the embodiment of what is it real? You know, like, because there's so much outside of the ring and business heat that he gets. And, you know, he's, you know, really, he's been pretty... You know, throughout his career, he's done some really impressive storylines. I mean, when he left, he was gone, and they went on moving with the fact that, you know, they even had, like, kicked Vince out. Triple H is the COO. He was there. He was voted out of the board. Vince crying, getting his thank you, Vince chants. And I think this is start of the beginning of where Triple H started learning his type of story, like his craft of storytelling, because this is very well done. Immediately started a tournament that end. It was an 8-man tournament that ended with The Miz and Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio wins the title. And this is all on July 25th. Remember, CM Punk left on the 17th. And then Triple H basically said, well, Rey, you won. I've spoken to Rey, and he knows he won, but he's going to have to defend that title tonight, which was, I think, maybe the only time that there was a double WWE Championship match on Raw. But he straight up, you know, has another match. Cena wins the title. And all throughout the night, he's talking about how he, you know, he's heard the fans and listening. He's going to bring somebody back. You know, first, it's you got JR is one of the people that he brings back. And, of course, to me, JR is my favorite commentator of all time. It's something about the way, again, he's another one of those people who help make it feel real. You know, oh my God, he's got a family. Oh, don't do this. You know, like he just made it feel that much realer. More real, I guess, is the proper way to say that. But then he brought back John Morrison. So he thought maybe those are the people he's talking about. And then after, you know, there's also Michael Cole. You know, let's take a second to talk about Michael Cole. Michael Cole went from being probably one of the most hated people in WWE, went from just a little reporter backstage to commentary to, I mean, granted, he is undefeated at WrestleMania, but he was a villain, he was a heel, and now he's one of the most respected people in the business, very justifiably so, and I just want to give him his flowers while I can, and also tip my cap to Corey Graves, who I give a lot of shit to. He is very much the heel commentator, which at one point Cole was as well. And now I look back thinking, man, I respect Cole so much now. Corey Graves might be that in a few years if he keeps working in the WWE or, you know, in commentary in general. But yeah, JR, Michael Cole had like a meltdown calling JR, cuts his like promo standing on the desk, making a talk saying JR is basically the Walking Dead. And you know, it was a promo that today, if that promo happened, they would have cut it. they would have cut that shit in a minute. But at the end of the show, Rey and Cena have a match. Cena wins, and then Punk's music hit, and he walks out with his title belt. So now for the first time ever, they have two legitimate WWE champions. And then, you know, I looking back, I think a lot of my hate for Punk, and I don't want to say I ever really hated Punk, I just didn't, I was never a fan of his, is because, you know, in a lot of his stories and a lot of his big matches, he's going up against some of the best, some of the greatest of all time, and people who I enjoy much more, like John Cena, Undertaker, Randy Orton. These are all people that you're supposed to cheer for, and he's in there taking these Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers to the absolute limit, and we'll get more into that in a little bit, but he might be the best in the world. I don't know if he ever truly was the best in the world, but there's no argument that he's one of the best. He may have been two, maybe three a few times, but for the most part, he's in that discussion. He's at least in the discussion. Anyone who argues that, I believe, is just wrong. I was a big Cena fan back then. I was one of the few people who would have cheered for Cena and didn't say Cena sucks. So when you have this polarizing figure like Punk coming at the guy I like, my favorite wrestler at the time, you know, active wrestler, and saying he's a fake champion. And, you know, I didn't get it. You know, I didn't understand Punk, and Jerry King Lawler even said, you know, I never thought he was that good. Well, you know, besides his infamous pipe bombs and, you know, he's great on the mic. I've always said that. I get that. But I kind of saw him as just someone that was always running his mouth, even though he was just saying what was on his mind. And, you know, he was a new breed of superstar like we have now a lot more of. I mean, I say it again, man. CM Punk walked so MJF could run. You know, I definitely feel that. And I was a Cena's fan. And at the time, someone who's calling him, you know, head of the Straight Edge Society. I'm no Straight Edge. I never once claimed to be. You know, so, and it felt like he was shoving it down my throat, which is what a lot of people felt for Cena. You know, and then later down the line, the same thing for Roman Reigns. You know, I definitely think my personal bias has definitely clouded my judgment on the quote-unquote greatness of CM Punk, because match after match that I watch with some of these all-time or future Hall of Famers and all-time greats are bangers. Like, he had two back-to-back amazing pay-per-view at the time, now PLE, victories over John Cena. He took someone like The Undertaker, someone like Randy Orton, to the absolute limits. You know? He's impressive. I mean, he beat The Shield in a handicap match. The Shield. And in case of those who don't remember, The Shield is blue-eyed Roman Reigns, the Seth Rollins before he was the Visionary, and the Lunatic Fringed, or one of the best in AEW at the current moment, John Moxley, who was Dean Ambrose at the time. But he beat The Shield at TLC. He challenged Undertaker in a Hell in a Cell as a champion, and it took a last ride, a chokeslam, a boot to the face with a steel chair, and a tombstone pile driver to defeat Punk. And that's the Undertaker in Hell in the Cell. He took Brock Lesnar to the absolute limit in a no DQ match, which included Punk escaping the Kimura lock into a triangle choke, got slammed twice, and kept it locked in. After two Lesnar slams, he kept it locked in. He then went up to the top rope, did a chair-assisted elbow drop, countered the F5 into a DDT, multiple interferences by Paul Heyman. He did, in fact, get to punch him in the face and did put him into his vice, which is his hold. And then finally, a F5 onto a chair put him down. He took on Randy Orton, took him to the limit. He actually slithered out of an RKO. Who does that? Very few people. He did then, granted, go up to the top rope and get an RKO out of nowhere from the top rope. But at the same time, this is the legend killer Randy Orton. I mean, and he was really small at the time. Oh my God, go watch some old Randy Orton now that you've seen him super buff that like he is now. He's in the best shape of his life, and everyone better watch out. I cannot wait. Like, old Randy probably couldn't go head-to-head with Roman Reigns. This version absolutely can. And then he took a long break from the WWE and came back in AEW in 2021 and had feuds with Hangman Adam Page, Eddie Kingston, MJF, Jon Moxley, some of the biggest names in the company. Now, there's also was a lot of drama. There were two backstage altercations and the famous media scrum, you know, that got him into trouble and got him eventually kicked out of AEW, which led to him coming back to WWE. But overall, if you look at everything he's done, if it was any other wrestler, we probably would be talking about him Hall of Fame capability throughout, you know, every company he's ever been in. But because it's CM Punk, and because he's such a polarizing figure, and because he seems to bring the drama, allegedly, at least, he is not, by someone like me, for instance, up until probably today, thought he was not as good as everyone said he was. Watching all his stuff back now, he was ahead of his time, and I think that if he wasn't going up against all of my favorites, I mean, Undertaker, Randy Orton, I wasn't a big fan of Lesnar, but, you know, Cena, these are all people that I really enjoyed, and I found him annoying at the time, and guess what? He's going to go down as one of the greatest in the modern era, no questions asked, and maybe of all time. I am no longer I'm not a CM Punk fan. I'm a fan of CM Punk. And it really took him coming back to the WWE, and not because he came back to WWE, but because of what I have witnessed him do since he came back. His first promo was, you know, it felt very disingenuous. The only thing I believed was that I'm not here to make friends, I'm here to make money. That's the only thing that I believed out of that entire first promo on Raw. But when he came to SmackDown, he called out basically everybody. Said he would work with Randy Orton. Said he would work with LA Knight. Said he wants to go at Roman Reigns. Remember, he was a Paul Heyman guy first, you know. And then he shoots at Seth Rollins. And then he goes to NXT. He makes a surprise appearance at NXT. He wasn't booked for it. It wasn't promoted for it, but he shows up, and he shows up in a Bret the Hitman Hart hoodie and talks to HBK in the ring, and they basically just honestly looked like they both just forgot what they were supposed to do because the moment was just so big. There should never, like, the fact that hell froze over, as he likes to say now, and he's in an NXT ring with the legend HBK. I mean, he took a selfie with him. And then they had to play Punk's music just to get it keep going. And then, you know, he runs into Cora Jade backstage, and Cora Jade is literally probably one of the biggest CM Punk fans on the planet for her entire life. He walked up, you know, they even did a little special for it, you know, a digital special. So go watch that if you get a chance. It's a really nice moment. He basically said he's proud of her, and, you know, that's something that she's probably waited to hear her entire life. But the question is, and he said, you know, throughout this whole thing, this whole week, was, I'm going to let the universe decide where should I sign, whether that be Raw, SmackDown, or NXT. Now, if he was going strictly on the response of the crowd, granted, it was a PLE, but he would be going to NXT. The NXT crowd erupted, and when he asked, should I sign with NXT, it blew the roof off the building. But you can make a case for him going anywhere. You know, NXT can be a completely fresh slate. He would have all these young talent he could work with. I mean, imagine him and Ilya Dragunov. Imagine him versus Bron Breakker. Imagine him versus Carmelo Hayes. You know, Trick Williams. There are some really great wrestlers down in NXT right now. Dychek. I mean, Tyler Bate, big strong boy. Or Raw, where, as he's stated numerous times, the only one person doesn't like him, and that's Seth frickin' Rollins. Who is on Monday Night Raw as the World Heavyweight Champion. Now, it makes sense to go there. He also has some friends there in Cody Rhodes, among other people that he could potentially have some fun with, like, you know, Kofi Kingston, who he was once a tag team champion with. Who knows? I think Raw is the like, if you're from the business standpoint, since Randy Orton is now exclusively to SmackDown, you should put CM Punk on Raw. It makes sense. But I have a third option. And I think, to me, this sounds more Punk than anything. More CM Punk than anything. What about he comes out to sign his contracts, he takes both of them, and then he pulls out from his pocket a third contract, or maybe a fourth if HBK is there with NXT contract in hand. A fourth contract that he already has signed and already has Triple H's signature on it. So all of this meant nothing, and he just wanted to get praise from each individual general manager and you know, get his flowers under some false pretenses, pulling a sly CM Punk kind of thing. And he says, I'm a free agent, and I'm declaring as number one in the Royal Rumble, and just walks off. Music hits, end of the show. Now, granted, this episode is going to release technically on Monday morning. I'm finishing, like, every episode of Nerds Tweet and Movie Podcast is supposed to come out on the at around 11 a.m. Sunday mornings. But like I said, I went down a rabbit hole doing some CM Punk research for this episode, and it was definitely pushed a little longer than it was supposed to be. But we will find out, according to CM Punk, we will find out what brand he's going to sign with, whether it be Raw, SmackDown, or NXT, on Monday Night Raw on the 11th. So if you watch this after the 11th and he's already signed somewhere, obviously what I said about him being a free agent doesn't make any sense to you, but that's why. And I am really excited. And now, one thing you got to look at, CM Punk's number one goal here, I mean, I'm sure it's probably to make some money, you know, or whatever, but he wants to main event WrestleMania. That's what he wants. So you can guarantee, in my opinion, the most well-behaved and amazing CM Punk you can imagine from here until WrestleMania. Now, I don't know how long his contract is. I've heard that it's years, which would be interesting. But from here to WrestleMania, I think we're going to probably see some of the best work of CM Punk's career. Because especially if he does it, goes free agent, man, you never know where he'll show up. So it'll increase ticket sales for all three brands, because you will never know when he's going to show up. It's not like Roman Reigns where they're like, oh, he hasn't been here for months, Roman Reigns will be here next week. You literally have to buy tickets for Raw, SmackDown, and NXT every single week, because you never know when CM Punk was going to show up next, because he's a free agent and can do whatever he wants. Could you imagine CM Punk off the leash? I mean, you can always argue that, you know, Paul Heyman always used to rein him in when he was going punkish, but now he's got no one to rein him in. Let this CM Punk character cook on every single show, especially if you've got him for a few years. Get the best out of him right now, right this very moment, when he's going to do his best work. Because, I mean, there are just so many great matches that can be had from now until WrestleMania, especially since there's no PLEs for the rest of this month. And then there are some moving forward. You got Royal Rumble coming up. You know he's going to be in it. I don't know if he's going to win. I kind of hope he doesn't win, because it would just be a trend where some big name comes back right before the Royal Rumble and he's going to win it. I mean, Cody Rhodes did that last year. I mean, granted, he was here for some bit, but he had to get surgery, you know, so he came back, you know. But, like, unless he enters number one. If he enters number one and goes the distance, give him whatever, he wins. Bravo. And I will say this. If I was a WWE Superstars, I'd be looking when the next event is in Chicago. Because no matter who you are, you're losing that day. CM Punk is walking out of the WWE with a championship or a win in Chicago. But yeah, I am really looking forward. See, and you know, again, this is me talking as someone who was not a big fan of Punk's, who's now come around after all the research I've done on him, I'm really looking forward to see where this all leads. He's making every single episode of WWE must see. He's going to make every PLE a must see. And that's why I can't believe they would limit that by saying he's only going to be on Raw. Now, granted, you can make the case that he's going to be only on Raw because they're trying to sell the rights to Raw so that they can have that, you know, the TV deals are coming up. So maybe, again, as a business decision, I get why you would want him only on Raw. But, I mean, man, you're literally an appearance away every single night from an eruption at your arena, at the arena that your event is being held at. He just has to show up. And he could go the Cody Rhodes route. Cody Rhodes doesn't wrestle that much on TV. Hasn't, and for quite some time. He comes and does his promos and wrestles the big matches, the main events. Yeah, I mean, great. Good. I'm not complaining. For the record, I want to make sure that's very clear. I'm not complaining here. I'm just saying all he has to do is show up. All CM Punk has to do, all Roman Reigns has to do, all any of these megastars, MJF, all they have to do is show up. They don't even have to get into tights. And when if you've got a happy CM Punk who is willing, a few years ago, you think CM Punk would have gone to NXT? He would have taken that as a slight, like, why are you sending me down to NXT? He just apparently was just in the neighborhood because he was. I mean, he posted a picture that he was at the WWE headquarters, so it's not like that's a lie. But, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, this is a happy Punk who's happy to be, quote-unquote, home. Whether you believe he thinks it's home or not, that's up to you. But I'm really excited. I wasn't, like, believe me, if you go check some of the past episodes, I was furious, almost borderline furious, that he upstaged Randy Orton's return, because I'm a Randy Orton guy. And again, my personal biases getting in the way. So if you do anything with this episode, if you listen to it and think, man, maybe my personal biases get in the way of me liking this, liking CM Punk, I would also recommend, if that is the case, or even if it's not the case, maybe look at some things you've already made a decision about, some things that you have said I hate, or that you've just made this a conscientious effort that you didn't like, or like, if you like only Star Wars, why don't you go watch some Star Trek? Give it a shot. If you don't like it, you don't like it, but give it a shot. Give it an honest shot. If you only like Marvel, why don't you go read some DC comics, or better yet, some indie comics? You don't like it, fine, but at least give it a shot. This tribalistic, like, I can only like one company, is very childish, and honestly, all it does is limit your content that you can consume. If you want to limit your own content, that is entirely on you, but I would like you to consider, maybe, just maybe, that you might be wrong, as I clearly was about CM Punk. You know, all I can do is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I can talk till I'm blue in the face. People whose minds can't be changed, no matter how good you are at your job. But just give some things a shot. You know? Whether that's a new comic book, a new movie, a new TV show, a new actor, a new relationship, a new friend. Take a shot. Take a shot. Until next time. This is Nerdtween, signing off. You stay nerdy, my friends.